You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The Obama administration announced a multi-billion dollar plan in April that identified 10 possible regions to build new high-speed rail systems as part of its economic recovery plan. They include potential links to Canadian cities such as Vancouver and Montreal from Seattle and Boston, as well as links to U.S. cities such as Detroit and Buffalo in the Great Lakes region. Parliamentary hearings began a couple of weeks ago in Ottawa into the future of high-speed rail in Canada. Paul Angen is founder of High Speed Rail Canada, and he joins me this morning from Cambridge, Ontario. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Lorraine.
High-speed rail is very common in Europe and Asia, but only just getting off the ground here in North America. Why is that?
Well, I think it boils down to, after the Second World War, North America decided to do this massive highway system. And in Europe, they said, you know, we're still going to preserve the rails and build roads. So basically, 50 years later, we're kind of so far behind the ball that our rail infrastructure cannot have high-speed rail.
Well, what does high-speed mean? How fast do the trains actually go?
Really, something over 200 kilometers an hour is what we're using as the baseline for high-speed. When you start get into your own designated track, no level crossings, no chance for car to meet train, but really you can go up to there's routine speeds of 325 kilometers per hour in Europe in Japan that the trains do routinely.
Well, so at that speed, it probably take about an hour to get from Vancouver to Seattle.
Yeah, the proposals we can talk about. Amtrak has their plan through the Washington State government. Their plans on the website what they want to do. So, you guys have, there is a plan out there. It's not like you have to do all the studies, and the plan's already been done.
Now, you mentioned that we haven't sort of kept up to date with our rail system in Canada, and the infrastructure isn't up to carrying trains traveling at that speed. What would it take to start supporting high-speed rail through the infrastructure?
Well, it depends on, what that high speed they want to do. If for instance, if they want to do higher speeds, so for instance, Seattle to Vancouver right now, I think the fastest it goes is like 115 kilometers per hour. But, if you want to increase that to like 190 kilometers per hour and really cut down your time substantially, that plan is there. If you wanted to go to the next step, which is totally new track, totally, like I said, designated corridor, that would take a significant amount of investment and studies. But then you can go into the 200, 300 kilometer range. But certainly there's things that the BC government can do or the federal government can do on the Canada side of this to play massive catch-up right now.
What kind of route lends itself to high-speed rail? Would Montreal to Vancouver be a candidate for that?
Well, really you do have to have a certain kind of population density along it to make it make sense. Not to say that our east-west trains in Canada don't need to be modernized and have faster trains, but really for a true high speed, the actual Vancouver to Seattle or Portland corridor is a good corridor because of population densities. Now, you're quite correct, though, it's as curvy as you get, and for high speed, it's basically straight. But again, there's a lot of variation between true, very high speed and where you're at now. You can go a long way with the improvements that Amtrak and Washington State have already suggested, such as taking down some of them curves and such.
How does rail compare with planes and cars when it comes to emissions?
Well, that's always the selling point about rail is that it's one-fifth of the pollution that a car would put out, or that one-third of what an airport does. So that's the selling point about rail from the green side is the environmental stuff. The carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide reduction from the greenhouse gases is significant. Just the whole thing, if you get off the oil dependency, is significant. If you go electric, and then, of course, if you go electric, you have to determine the source of the electricity. But these are the kind of things. The environmental footprint from high-speed rail is just at the beginning when you're putting it in. Of course, if you're just improving existing track, it's a very small environmental footprint. But as far as the environmental footprint after, it's far superior than the automobile and paving BC and like we're doing, and paving the rest of Canada and building the airports.
What about cost from the perspective of a consumer? The biggest competitors right now are the airlines. Will people take trains if flying is cheaper?
No doubt about it. I just saw a thing the other day in Europe where they put in a new line, and it used to be one-fifth of the people took the traditional train instead of the plane, and now half the people are taking the high-speed train. People take it, there's no doubt about it. Those studies have been done in Europe. It's pretty well, not even an arguable factor. In fact, the airlines in France are starting to buy the high-speed companies up because they see for short hauls under 800 kilometers, it's the way to go. The only thing that happens here in Canada that we run into is the airline industry says they're going to be wiped out, so we can't have modern rail. So we're the only G8 country in the world that doesn't have modern high-speed rail because we're scared that our airline industry controls how people travel, which is pretty bizarre because, as we know, in the rest of the world, people can go by road, people can go by air, or people can go by rail.
Now, the biggest holdup in a car or a bus when you're going to Seattle is actually the border. Would a train service, how would a train service handle that?
Well, you know what? This is where we get away from the train. The technology is not the problem. This is when we get into the bureaucracy, the politics is the problem. And I'm so aware of this because in my own lifetime, I've seen Windsor to Detroit, Michigan be taken away. And then just recently, about 5 years ago, they took away the train from Toronto used to go to Sarnia and Port Huron, Michigan, and they took away that, too. And part of it was this post-9/11 fears that we have. So these problems are entirely solvable. So one of the problems you have in Vancouver right now is that second train, and it's been well-publicized that the Canadian Border Services Agency, the federal government, won't pay for the customs there. And truly, it's ridiculous. I mean, this question doesn't come up when you're crossing road bridges between Detroit and Windsor or between any other corridor. They just add more lanes, they add more booths for the customs. So that's a great example of how government, in this case, is stopping service from being increased in your area for just a ridiculous reason. The amount of money was, I think, $1,500 a day. And compared to the billions and billions, I mean, they just spent $4 billion for the auto industry that just went bankrupt.
Now, we know, Paul, that there is some political will. The Obama administration's interested. Mayor Gregor Robertson of Vancouver is interested. How much interest is there at the federal level in Canada?
The missing link is the vision from the federal government, and that's significant. So when you talked about President Obama, that's what kick-started the whole American revival. In Ontario, Quebec, the mayors, the provincial premiers are all on board. I mean, we put on these public symposiums, and we have a hard time keeping up with the cities that want us to do it. And in BC, a little different there. You definitely have your mayor on board 100%, as you mentioned. I haven't got that warm, fuzzy feeling from your provincial government. So, but certainly 100%, that's the missing link, but it doesn't mean that vision can't happen or be changed. So that's what we're working on, is trying to get the critical mass of people to say, hey, we're excited about high-speed rail. I think it's time for the government and power to get excited.
Well, it's been good talking to you this morning, Paul.
No problem at all.
I've been speaking with Paul Langan. He's the founder of High Speed Rail Canada, and he joined us this morning from Cambridge, Ontario.